Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. So we are two middle-aged women. We are a little bit dead inside. We're new friends trying to get to know each other. And this is our journey toward authentic friendship.
Yay.
Yay. And we have a special guest today, Jackson.
Howdy, everybody. Well, my name is Jackson, but a lot of people know me as Jackson James. I'm a singer-songwriter from Northeast Texas. I live in Nacogdoches, Texas currently, but I'm here today on the Little Bit Dead podcast, and we're going to talk about a lot of things, and we hope you enjoy.
Yes, we're going to have so much fun.
All the things.
So I've known Jackson since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Him and my youngest son, Scotty, have been
living together right now, but we've been living together since we were kids.
Yeah, they were
weekend by weekend.
Yep. But, always together.
Yeah. But I mean, I worked with Mikey for a long time too at JV, so
yeah.
I've known one. Zoe was my drum major in band, so
yeah, you've kind of just
been around the family for a long time.
Yeah, you've been a member of the family for
ever. I mean, JC did our roof, so
So we love Jackson. And I'm so proud of you, all you've accomplished.
Yeah.
You're
I'm glad to be the first guest here, so let's hope it goes well.
And big pressure.
Yeah, lots of pressure. But anyways, I found out about y'all's podcast pretty recently, but I came on. I accepted it just because I know that y'all had given me a shout-out, and it really appreciated me. You know, I like having local support, so I'm glad to be here. And I know you from, we've done a ton of stuff with the Tiki Hut, so
yeah,
that's where we had met initially.
That's right. I think that has to be the first time that I met you, either that or Mugshots, maybe. I don't know.
That sounds right. Yeah, I used to work at Mugshots for a while. I was a cook there. But I also played there a couple times. I haven't been back, but I need to go recently. Really anything local nowadays. I live so far away, it's hard for me to make the drive.
Oh, my husband just walked in. Hey, babe, come give me a kiss.
I always find it funny. Anytime I go to Arnold's, I always see JC just sitting down.
Yeah, he's part of the old man that sit there and gossip and drink coffee. And
the coffee club. Yeah.
The coffee club.
That's what I was told. Said I always want to be one of those old guys at Greg's at 6 a.m. just drinking coffee and talking about life.
Yeah.
That's where all the women, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but we get our gossip because of the men who do the early morning coffee run gossip.
Oh, yeah.
And then they bring it back to us. And then if we have questions, we go back.
Well, you know, their wives drop them off, or, you know, they drive themselves. And then, you know, around whenever the sun kind of gets up and everyone wants to start the day, they'll get picked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fill me in. I need all the tea.
Well, you know, there's a lot of... I heard this term recently, but it was the mouth of the South. And I have a lot of family like that. So that's how news travels the way that I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about it, and, you know, if you really want the gossip and news to spread, you only got to tell about two people. And when the sun goes down, everyone will know.
Yeah, that's true, especially around here in this teeny tiny town.
Tiny.
But it's one of those things, it's a blessing and a curse, because, you know, if it's my news, I don't want it spreading, but if it's other people's,
I want to know everything.
I'm the biggest hypocrite when it comes to gossip. I think it's a waste of time, but then I partake in it daily. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, because I think I don't partake, but then I realize... that I do, because I read all the comments.
Yeah, it's very incrementally.
My ears perk up and I list. That's terrible, because if it was about, that's true. If it was about me, I'd think, that is horrible.
Well, and I would say, like,
sinner.
I could see how it's so popular in a town like this, you know, because there's not a lot that goes on. But I know that it's prevalent in pretty much anywhere you go in the world.
Well, and the truth is, if you don't know what you've been doing, you just ask somebody else, because everybody around here knows your business.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. That is the truth.
Well, I mean, whenever I was a kid, the best way to get gossip was if you went to, like, it's not brunch, but it's like the Sunday breakfast before church. You sit down at a table, people are drinking orange juice, eating a donut, and they will tell everyone's life stories right then and there. Or, you know, you go to Wallflower at 6:30 a.m. in the morning, and you'll pick up on some stuff.
You know, I know everybody in town's business.
Oh, yeah. Well, my favorite thing.
Everybody's business, and I can't tell a soul.
I don't know if y'all are a part of this page, but it's my favorite page ever. But it's that scanner page on Facebook, the East Texas.
Oh, yeah, I'm not on that.
I love scrolling through there and just seeing, because that's all they do. They hear something on the radio, and they post immediately.
Well, and, I used to be on that, and then he, like, started charging. And I think I got kicked off for not paying or something.
Well, I like it just well, it was funny to me because when I moved away in January of this year, and I didn't really talk to a lot of people. I never really had a lot of friends around here. And so whenever I left, my only news of home was that page. And I was like, dang, that place is going to hell, you know? Like, there's crime every day. But, you know, if you only focus on the negatives, then that's all you'll see.
That's what I've been saying.
Yes,
that is exactly what I've been saying. There are good things out here too.
Oh yeah, and, you know, it's all about what you have your perspective on. Because I mean, I've been seeing the news today about that virus that's going around and whatnot.
Have you seen about the fog?
Yeah, people are like
this like weird chemical fog, and people are finding like weird stuff in their pool.
I saw a TikTok yesterday. It was like, I'm in southern Missouri. What is this fog that's going around everywhere?
And, it's like, probably, people are getting sick from it.
It's probably
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. It's probably just seasonal allergies. I mean...
Well, I mean, there's probably... Well, you know, people are like, oh, the government's releasing, like, nerve agents and stuff. Like...
Chemtrails.
I don't know. I like a lot of conspiracy theories. Though.
Listen, I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
I may or may not have a tinfoil hat.
I like the, you know, like the government controlling the weather and the weather seeding, and I like reading up on all that.
Hey, some of that is true.
No, it's definitely true. Well, I saw a video the other day of like this artist who like manipulated the humidity in his room and whatnot and was able to create a cloud in this room just floating around. And I thought that was really
goodness.
Cool. Yeah, he was taking pictures. But what I thought was really cool, I played a show up in Mountain Home this past weekend, which is like at the tippy top of Arkansas, and it was raining, and so you'd be driving, and then you'd get up to the mountains. And it stops raining, and it's not because it stops raining, it's because you get above the clouds on some of the
roads. That's crazy.
That is cool. Yeah.
And that was a foggy ride.
That would make me a nervous wreck on mountains like that.
Well, I hated it just because I've been on that road before, and it's a very pretty road. And so when the fog's out and everything, you don't get to see any of the wilderness. And all you see is just road.
Yeah. Well, at least you can see the road, which is the most important thing to be able to see.
Oh my gosh, the night of our work Christmas party, you could not see an inch in front of you. By the time I got to my boss's house, I literally had to stop when I turned because I couldn't see where the road was. I mean, I'm
rolling down
the window, everything else, and I finally just inched forward a bit until I could get through some of it. It was bad.
Yeah,
it was
really bad. I mean, I'll get off the show sometimes, and we won't get out of the bar until about midnight, 1 a.m., and I've got a two-hour drive back home, and so I'm, like, I'm driving, and for whatever reason, the second I get past Henderson, there's like this really hilly road up until you get to Neck, and there's always fog, and it's always the worst. You can't ever see anything on that road.
And there's like no cell reception right through there.
Oh yeah, there's nothing. And well, that's where like a lot of accidents happen too. Mm. So I always get kind of nervous. And you know, that's the hardest part of the drive is those last half hours. So that's when you get sleepy and everything else.
Yeah.
I know, like, whenever me and Scotty ride back together, he always has to stop in Mount Enterprise to take a nap. Like, I'll go ahead and go home, but he always stops at, like, a Sefco and does a half-hour nap. I don't understand it.
Well, he learned his lesson about driving when he was sleepy.
Yeah, he's a sleepy driver. I will give him that. Anytime we've gone to a concert together, he's always the passenger seat.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is, but he cannot hold his eyes open.
Well, he sleeps all the time. I mean, I live with him, and, I told him today, I was like, I'm going to reveal all your darkest secrets.
I love this. Yeah.
All the tea.
But tell me what Scotty will sleep all day long. And I know, like, he'll get home around the same time that I do sometimes, around midnight, 1 a.m.-ish. But, I mean, he'll sleep until he has work the next day at 4. I mean, like, and he's just sleeping.
Is he going to class?
He's going to... He goes to a class, maybe. No, he goes to class. But he passes his classes. I think that's the important part.
Okay, yeah. As long as he's passing his classes.
I was telling somebody about this the other day that Scotty always made me mad because I was never academically gifted. And Scotty's the kind of guy who will not study for anything and then, like, wake up late for the test and ace it.
Yeah.
Just never had to try like that. Where, like, me, I breezed through math up until about my junior year, and geometry got introduced, and it was like a foreign language to me, and I couldn't. Mm-mm. My brain doesn't work that way, and that's when I knew I just needed to give up on school entirely.
Yeah. You sound like me, because I did not have a good time in high school.
I told my mom, like, my junior year, I was like, I want to do music, and she was like, that's fun, but do it right, or I'm going to make you go to college. And I was like, I really don't want to go to college. And so I made it do it right, and that's what I do now. And it's one of those things where it's like, I can't quit now, because if I do, I'm just a guy who never went to college. I'm probably going to flip burgers for the rest of my life. So it's like, I just gotta, that's the, in the back of my mind, that's my drive. It's just, don't be broke. Don't
be broke.
Yeah, don't be a burger flipper.
So how did you actually get started?
So I started off, technically I started off in church. But I didn't start doing singing in church until about my freshman year of high school, which is when I started music. And so, like, I know a lot of people who, like, their families were musically inclined and they always were around it. But, like, I never really saw any kind of live music when I was a kid. Like, my dad had a lot of guitars in his room, but he never played just because he was working all the time. And so I picked it up my freshman year, and luckily it was whenever COVID hit. And so I had 2 years of sitting in my room to really hone in on the talent part of it, I guess. Just learning how to play guitar, trying to learn how to sing. And then getting up on stage and singing at church every Sunday was, like, a big thing for me. And so I started off in my church, and then I started going to a bunch of different churches in the area and doing, like, a Sunday special. And so that was kind of my first bit of touring, I guess. Even though it was all in the same town, it was something that I could travel for and meet new people. But I remember I used to hold these little concerts down at the Spring Creek Park. And
yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was 2022 when I started doing that. And I would just do these, like, two-hour quick concerts with, like, one speaker and, like, an amp. And
yeah, I could hear you over here. I was like, oh, that's Jackson.
It was really awkward. I just was trying my best to do anything related to live music. And then I started playing lead guitar for people. And so that was really where I got my start playing in barrooms. Because, I mean, I've been playing in barrooms since I was 16. And that was also another funny thing. Is, like, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school. And I had, like, a very select group. And, like, most people at my age were just going home and, like, they were hanging out with their friends or something. But, like, I was going out every weekend and I was in these bars. I was having fun. Not drinking like that. I'm saying I'm just having fun. Like, all of my friends were 40-year-olds. And it's always been like that ever since I was a kid. I just was always gravitated to people who were older. And,
it's an old soul.
So, you know, all my friends were 40-year-olds as long as I can remember. Even nowadays, like, my best friends are all, they have multiple kids, you know, full-time jobs. But yeah, I started off playing lead guitar for people, and I was just soaking up all the information I could, you know, learning how they do finances, learning how you book shows, how to make schedules, stage plots, all the cool stuff. And so then my senior year of high school, starting off in the year, I had two of my buddies that were in a band with me that went to high school with me. And we would play the same three restaurants every single weekend. It would be like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we'd play that every single weekend. And, man, we got so tired of it. It was so bad. But,
yeah, that I can see how that would.
So, yeah, that was 2023. Oh, yeah, no, that was the end of 2022, was whenever we were playing the same places. And then they left the band and everything, so it was just me. And I kind of just did a bunch of, like, free shows for a bunch of different charity events. And then I finally met my bassist in June of 2023. And his name is John. He's the one that plays with me now. Same guy. And he works out at the nursing home. But he's literally, like, my backbone. Like, he's the reason why all the shows happen. Like, I love him to death. And he's, like, the reason why it works. But we started doing these shows, and we started traveling more, and we started playing shows in Dallas, and then by the end of 23, I mean, we were playing three nights every weekend, which is, like, the most that we'd ever thought we would ever play.
And in different places, too.
Yeah, different places. We were traveling, and we were making money. That was a big thing with me, was I was making money, and so that was December of 23, and then right after Christmas happened, which is January 24 coming up, I moved out and I quit booking shows. I was like, we're going to take a 3-month break. And I wasn't smart about it, and so when I moved out, I didn't have any shows booked, I didn't have a job, I was in a new place, and I was flat broke, like, so broke. And I had $40 to my name, and I had two interviews lined up, so I went and put 30 in the tank, and I had 10 just for a savings account. Pretty responsible of me. First interview went awful. I completely tanked it. So I went to the next interview. It was for Berkshire Brothers. And I got out of the interview, and I had an empty tank of gas. And I was like, all right, this is... I was like, I've been here for 2 weeks, and I'm either about to have to fail and move back home, or I'm going to make this work. And so on the drive home, I put the last $10 in my gas tank, and I got the call that I got the job at Berkshire's. So I started my job off, and I didn't get my first paycheck for like 3 weeks. Woo. So there was a three-period where Scotty financed my entire life. He bought me food. He made sure he got me gas and everything.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, and, you know, he's like, I've always said, like, that's, me and Scotty have our ups and downs, and half the time we don't even get along, but I don't think I'll ever have to worry about us not being friends, because we were never really friends. We were always brothers since we were kids.
That's
it's
true.
It's one of those things where I never had to get along with him, because that's not why I'm friends with him. And so, anyways, yeah, and I remember I got my first paycheck, it was like $400 I put in my bank account, and I went and I bought me and him some Taco Bell. And that was the best meal I've ever eaten in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Best taco I've ever eaten. And I don't like tacos. I ate that thing up. Because it was the first thing that I had bought with my own money. I was on my own, doing everything the way you're supposed to. And so March rolled around, and I had the job for about a month. And I just had this mean boss. Like, he just did not like
me. There's nothing worse than a mean boss.
His favorite thing was to come into my work and just make me mad, you know? He loved just to antagonize me. And I was just like, I'm so tired of working this job. I'm tired of working any kind of job. And so I started booking at nighttime. I would just email these places over and over again. And we had played our first show in Shreveport. And this is the first show I'd played in like 3 to 4 months. So we had gone from playing like 3 nights a week to nothing for like 3 months. And so I played my first show in Shreveport. And I got off the stage. And I texted my boss. I said, I'm sick. I can't come in tomorrow. And I blocked everyone from the work group chat. And I just quit. I couldn't even do 2 weeks. I just quit. And so that's when I knew what I wanted to do with my life. And that really, like, lit a flame in my ass like I've never seen. And so from April to now, we've been playing 3, 4, 5 shows a week and just trying our best to grow. And we're hoping 2025 will be the year that we really take off. But, we've been doing tons of stuff this year that I never thought it would be possible.
It's so exciting to me to be able to see this side of your journey.
For sure, yeah.
Because I can't wait to see what comes for you.
So when you're big and famous, you still have to come back and be on our podcast.
I understand. No, and like, that was the thing with me, is that I never really wanted to be famous, because I have really bad social anxiety. So terrible about, like, and everyone was like, well, you chose the worst business to get into. And I'm like, I understand that. Because, like, John Mavasis, he'll go out and he'll talk to people. He'll conversate. And me, I just want to go to the green room, sit down, and, like, just play on my phone. So, like, I have to hype myself up every time to go and talk to people, you know, introduce myself. And, you know, it really sucks because, you know, a lot of what I do is I'm having to sell myself. I'm having to, you know, market myself out, make myself – I want you to want me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
It's
a really weird balance, just trying to.
Sandy.
I was fixing to burst out in song.
I just looked at Sandy, and no, I know she saw the look on my face.
I love some Cheap Trick, okay?
I was about to start singing it.
We both were. No, we didn't do it, though.
I've sang that song ever since I was a kid. We used to have, it was like one of those Rock Band Wii games, and I put many hours into that one.
I love the punk rock version of it.
Oh, my kids like the dance one.
Oh, yeah, Just Dance.
Just Dance,
I
yeah.
Too. I was big on, like, Just Dance, Wii Sports, and, you know, Rock Band. Well, that was always one thing that was funny to me, is that, like, I always sucked at Guitar Hero and whatnot. And Lance, we'd go over to Lance's house, and he had this, it was Guitar Hero Metallica. And Lance is obsessed with Metallica, still is, always has been. And I would go and I'd play these songs that I can play great on guitar, you know? and I can't do anything on Guitar Hero. It's completely backwards to me. But, you know, that's the reason why, funny enough, that's why I started playing guitar. So, like, growing up, I've never been fit, fast, or anything athletic at all. And so all of my friends were always so much better than me in sports and whatnot. Like, even Lance and Scotty were better than me. And anything I would try to do was sports related. And so, like, my 6th and 7th grade, we started athletics, and I started football. And I was just terrible. I was a bench warmer, 100%. I was like they had like the first and second teams, and they had to make a third and fourth for the people like me. Just to,
stop.
No, I mean, so like literally the only medal I ever got.
You sound tennis, like me.
The only medal I ever got in tennis was the medal that everyone got. You know?
Yeah. Oh, you so, got a participation trophy.
Yeah, I got the participation trophy, and so anyways, I was kind of just mad in my head. I was like, I'm never going to be good at anything. And Lance had started playing guitar his 7th grade year, and he just was learning these, like, little Metallica riffs. And I went over to his house one time, and he was playing them. I was like, I'm going to be better at guitar than Lance. That's what I'm going to do. There's going to be one thing that I'm better at than anyone. And so, and that, it just straight comes from jealousy. And it's still nowadays. I see people who are doing better than me, I'm like, I just want to do better than them. I hate them, you know? And that's all. That's like my biggest, like, what's it called? Bad trait, I guess. I don't know what the term is. My biggest flaw is I have bad jealousy. And it's not even like a hateful jealousy. It's just like, I want to be exactly you. And
don't you hate on job applications where they say, what is your worst personality trait?
Oh, yeah,
what
for
is
sure.
Your worst flaw?
I'm not going to shoot myself.
I always say that I don't have any.
In other words,
you're
fact?
A liar.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we used to play in the church together, and I was able to learn the same riffs as him, and then slowly, like, I started learning more and more, and in about a year, like, he was still playing the same stuff, and I was playing, like, cooler stuff, and so I was like, okay, I did that one. And then I remember, and I can say this because I'm still very good friends with him, but I don't know if you know Austin Roerichs.
Yes.
Was in Mikey's grade. So
yes.
Me and him have always been really, really good friends. And he would perform at the Wildfire Trails every year, and he would, and he could just play these amazing solos and whatnot. And so I was sitting there, like, as a freshman going, well, I want to do exactly that. And so I started doing it, and, like, right during my freshman year when I really started picking it up seriously, COVID happened, and so I started playing more and more. And so it's just one of those things where, like, there's always been different levels of... It's like I put people on pedestals naturally, and I try to get to that level. And then once I'm to that level, I just want to be at the next one.
Yeah.
And I think, you know...
Austin's doing music, yeah?
Not... I mean, nowadays, he's kind of...
I thought him and Lance did a band.
No, Lance is doing stuff with Mason now, his little
brother.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But no, Austin still plays a lot. But a lot of the people that I started playing with, it just, it became more hobbies. You know, life got in the way, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. That's the story with, like, 90% of musicians. It's just that life got in the way, or, you know, one opportunity led to another, and something was more important.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of friends nowadays who are doing the same stuff as me, who are dropping out because they're getting a good job offer, or they're having kids, or something like that. Or they're just getting tired of it. It's a dying industry. It really is. I mean... Even from when I started, there's so many businesses closing down every year. A lot of people are getting replaced by tribute acts or karaoke gigs. So, like, live music at its base form, which is these small bars, these small venues where everyone starts at, it's all dying away because of TikTok, too. You can have someone... This is why I'm glad I haven't blown up quickly, because it's giving me a couple years. You can go back and see where I've played the Spring Creek Park. And then I started playing at places like Mugshots. Then I started playing at these bars and that bar. And you can see growth. You can go back to my Facebook page. You can see from the beginning. But a lot of these people...
blow up overnight.
They'll
sing,
they'll write a song and they'll blow up. And their first show will be a sold out 1,000 cap room, you know? Which is completely... It never happened like that, you know? And you can't run it like the 80s anymore. You know, you can't grind it out that way. And that's what I've had to tell a lot of my friends who are... They don't... care about social media. They don't. It's just not their thing. They're wanting to do in-person stuff, but it's like, that's not possible anymore. You can't blow up that way. Because where you can reach 50 people in a ballroom that night, you can reach 200 people like that on TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, it really is.
Like, I follow you on TikTok, and you are... you're hilarious.
It's one of those things. It's just, yeah, you have to... It's goofy stuff, you know, post it. But social media is such a huge thing. It's the backbone. It's not a music industry anymore. It's a TikTok industry. It's a Instagram industry. It's whatever. It's Meta. It's all that stuff.
Well, I think it kind of started, too, with MySpace.
Yeah. And
there was a lot of musicians that blew up on MySpace. Yeah.
And, well, same way with, like, Vine. Luke Combs blew up on Vine. It's one of those things where... And that's a big thing, like, a lot of people nowadays, like, they still care about radio, but the thing with the radios is that, like, especially if you're smaller, they kind of work on, like, a scratch-your-back system where it's, like, if you come in, sing this song acoustic live for free, we'll give this song, like, 50 radio spins or something like that. But nowadays, with your phone, you don't need that anymore. You can upload your songs free to SoundCloud, and then that's how Billie Eilish got started. Her and her brother, they uploaded a song called Ocean Eyes to SoundCloud, and it got like a couple million off the hit, and so then they got a record deal off of that, and now look at them. And yeah, it's just, it's all on the phone now, and that's just the way it is.
So wild.
Yeah.
Wild. I don't like it. I really, like, I always tell people I do not like social media.
I'm not good with social media. I don't post as much as I should.
The second I can afford a social media manager, I will. And then I will give you a flip phone.
See, when you find somebody, let me know, because I need somebody bad for the shop. I just don't have time to do it.
I understand. Well, the problem that I have, really, is just, like, I spend too much time on social media. Like, I love scrolling on TikTok. I love scrolling on Instagram. I love scrolling on Facebook. I just love being on the phone all the time, and I hate it. I get my screen time notifications every week, and it's just, like, 7 hours a day or something terrible. It's my most embarrassing quality is how much I spend on my phone. So that's one of my New Year's resolutions, just put down the phone.
And unplug sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one thing my mom was always big on ever since we were kids. Because, I mean, whenever I was growing up, I was still, like, smartphones were just getting up, iPods were everything. And she would make us, she would take our phones away and say, we're going to go to the state park or something. We're going to unplug for a couple hours. And I hated it at the time, but I really thank her nowadays. Same way with, like, whenever we'd get off school in the summer. I remember, like, my third grade year, we had just moved up here. And in the summer, she made us read, and I hated it. I just hated it. But now I thank her, because, like, if we're ever doing, like, we used to do, like, popcorn reading in class, and a lot of kids just cannot keep up, can't read fast or anything, so I'm always thankful for that.
Yeah, well, we grew up, me and Tori, your mom, grew up in a generation where we were made to read.
Yeah.
And kind of, we were the last ones of that, like, we learned how to read at an early age, and we read for fun.
Yes.
And so I did the same with my kids. I was like, y'all need to read a book.
Yeah. I'm terrible about reading books. Because, like, my fiance, she'll read all the time. If she's not reading, she's crocheting or something like that. And I just get so fed up. I'm like, let's go do something. And she just wants to sit down on the couch, crochet something. I'm like, we're already
old. I'm not even going to tell you how many books I read this year.
Christy's a reader.
My mom and my dad, they have a list every year of how many books they read and how many they're going to read next year, and they set goals for it.
That's Christy. Yeah.
And, of course, I'm just reading Instagram and Facebook captions all day.
I'm so disappointed in myself, though. I thought I was going to have one more finish before the year was up, and I'm only halfway through.
I
just didn't have time. But
that might be a resolution for me, is to read a couple books next year.
I set my goal this year for 75.
Oh, yeah.
I way surpassed it.
Wow. How much did you get?
I'm sorry?
How many books did you get?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what my exact number is right now.
It's like
now.
96?
I think it may be 96 or 97.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you just quit counting?
Well, I didn't look back on it. I just knew today, whenever I was looking at how much I had left of the one I was on.
So what's your favorite, like, genre of books? Like, what do you like to read?
I really don't have, like, one set genre, because I'm, like, I'm nosy. I like to know how things work. So I'll read things that are real. I like true crime.
Yeah.
I also love any kind of fiction, just about. I mean, there's, like, listen, I cannot get down with the people that think punctuation and spelling are not important. I can't deal with that.
I understand.
It just throws the whole story off. But, I mean, if it's a well-written story, I can get into it.
I'm like that, too. If I see someone post on social media and they're, like, using the wrong where or there.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
Or they're just not using commas ever. Like, I just, like, automatically, like, don't respect you as much. That's weird.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, like, I just don't think of you as someone who knows anything. And so I think punctuation
My horrible Texas accent, I'm sure, throws it off for people because I have to be completely uneducated the way I sound.
I'm the same way.
I wish I knew cursive. They quit teaching cursive like my fourth grade year. That's when they quit doing
so,
it. And I wish I would have stayed with it.
Let me tell you a funny story about cursive.
All right.
The girls, my daughters, went to first, they used to teach cursive writing in first grade. I learned from Miss Wanda. Mm-hmm. The girls went to school in Dangerfield, and they had quit teaching cursive. And so Zoe's teacher did not teach cursive because it was not a required thing to be taught in the first grade anymore. Mm-hmm. Zeta's teacher was old school, and she still taught cursive. So Zeta can write in cursive and has beautiful handwriting. She's left-handed. Mm-hmm. And hence, gorgeous handwriting.
Yeah.
Zoe writes like a doctor.
The doctors can still write in cursive.
Yeah, she...
I feel bad every time I sign the thing at the bank, you know, I just feel like... Because my name is Jackson James Brock, like that's my full name, so I'll sign that anywhere I go. Because this is the one problem I have, it's kind of my pet peeve, but it's hard not to... It's hard to set up, but like whenever I get my checks from the bars and whatnot... it always says Jackson James because that's just what everyone knows me as. And then, like, if it's a bank teller that doesn't know me, they'll be like, well, that's not your name. And I'm like, well, it kind of is. Like, look at the card, you know? And so, anyways, but I feel bad all the time because whenever I'm in the sign my name, it's just like barely a J and then squibbles the whole way down. Anyone could replicate my signature if they wanted to.
I don't know. They would have to squibble exactly the same way that you did.
My dad's signature is very unique. And I used to forge his signature on everything. And nobody would ever know it because my dad never signed any of my school stuff. My mom always signed it.
Oh, wow.
And so if I wanted to get away with something, mm-hmm. I would do my dad's name. And I did it perfectly.
Yeah.
But nobody at the school would ever know,
mm-hmm.
even if it wasn't perfect.
For sure.
Because nobody had ever seen his signature.
I used to try to... They used to have things called conduct forms back in, like, fifth grade.
Oh, God.
And me and Scott were the world's worst. We were, like, a nightmare for those teachers. We always had different conducts going home. And so we always used to try to forge them. But when I got to high school, that all went out the window because my mom started working at the school. And then so did my dad. And then both my aunts worked at the school. So, like, I had... There was one year, I think it was my junior year of high school, my dad was the janitor, my mom was a teacher aide, my aunt was a bus driver, my other aunt was the other janitor, and then two of my aunts were lunch ladies. So, like, I didn't ever go to class. I always just walked around and went to corner rooms. Like, I never went to class. And so I would just walk around and I'd see my whole family, you know, have a little family reunion in the hallways. But whenever teachers would need something signed or anything, they'd just go ask my mom directly. And so... I never got away with anything in high school.
Yeah, well, my stuff worked after junior high.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was in school, my mom worked at the junior high.
Oh, wow.
And so that was awful.
Yeah. The one thing that always made me so mad, in my senior year of high school, there was these teachers that I just did not like, and we never got along. And, like, I guess I, like, popped off one day, and... My mom made me go apologize to them because those were her friends. Like, that she worked with them and whatnot. So, like, she was like, you're not going to make me look bad. Like, you're going to go apologize. And it just grinded my teeth, made me so mad.
That's a good life lesson, though, is sometimes, y'all could disagree with me, but I feel like sometimes we need to apologize even if we did not intend offense.
I'm the world's worst at it because I will just, like, I just don't like it. And I guess it's the pride thing, but I still do. I mean, it's not like I've never not done it, but yeah.
So my next question for you is, what's your goals? Where do you see yourself? I mean, I'm not going to do that. Where do you see yourself in 10 years from now? But no, for real, like, what are your goals?
So I think, like habitually, every single year I go, well, the next year is going to be a big year for us, you know? And I always say that. I said it last year, you know, like, I can't wait to see 2024. It's going to be a big year. But I don't say it with intent. I just say it like almost like I'm trying to convince myself. You know, it's going to be a great year because I'm saying this. And I didn't have a lot of high hopes coming into this year. I really didn't. I mean, I started off the first 4 months just this rocky point. But my mom used to do this thing. Every year she'd write down a paper and she'd write down all of our accomplishments. And that was when they always took it for granted. I never really read them. I just kind of, whenever she'd give them to me, I kind of just threw them off to the side or something, you know? And this year I was like, well, why didn't I get one, you know? And she was like, well, you know, you're moved out now. It's your job to write down. So I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write down my accomplishments. And I realized, you know, like within a year, like we just hit over the 150,000 mark on our EP that we released back in May. And I'm engaged now. I'm living with my fiance as well. And then, you know, I got music out for the first time. We started playing tons of shows. And when you're in the moment, you don't really get a chance to really see it. But the past couple of weeks, when I had a chance to reflect, cause I, like, in my head, I'm such a pessimist. And so the whole year, I'm just like, I'm just not going at the speed I want to be. And I'm kind of in this point now where I'm like, well, we did this much in this year. Because we didn't really start our year until April. Because we didn't play any shows or anything. I'm still moving out. So, you know, from April, December, we've done this much. Like, how can I catch this lightning in a bottle again and, you know, go even further with it? So, like, right now, I think my goals for next year is to sign onto a booking agency. From up to this point, I've booked all my shows, and I'm still doing it, and it's a lot of work. It really is. And it's very stressful, and if I have someone booking for me, I can focus on things like social media more, recording more music. Back in September, we recorded our first album. It hadn't dropped yet, but the first thing was going to be dropping on Valentine's Day. And so, stuff like that, like I have a whole album ready to go. So, next year's goal is to get that album out, market it the right way, hopefully make that the one that, you know, sets the bar for what we want. So yeah, sign on to a booking agency, get married, want to get married, let's see what else.
I really feel like it's time to interject in here too, that today is New Year's Eve. This episode will not be aired on New Year's Eve, but that is what today is.
Yeah, that definitely needs to,
so
that's a big
as
thing.
As he's saying next year, he's talking about tomorrow.
Well, that's what I told Sid this morning. So Sid was supposed to come to the show with me tonight, and I get halfway here and she calls me. She's like, hey, check your pockets, and I have her keys on me, so she's not able to come tonight. And I was like, well, I guess I'll see you next year, you know. Stupid joke. But no, those are the main goals, just get married and get an album out. But yeah, we have a lot of cool things planned for the next year. We have a lot of cool shows already booked. So we're just really excited to announce everything.
So when you make it to the big show.
Okay.
I think that at least on one concert, you need to have a couple of special reserve tickets for Sandy and I.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Put my
I've seen you play like a couple of times, like kind of in more like when you were doing the Waffler.
We just recently got some new band members and everything, so like the shows we're doing now is like completely different than anything we've done before. Like they're structured like shows, like big shows that you would go and pay a ticket for, because a lot of our shows next year are ticketed. So that's a new thing we're moving into, is selling tickets. And that's another reason why I want to take a step back from booking, so I can focus on marketing these shows.
Yeah.
Because marketing nowadays is a lot easier than it has been in the past, because
we have marketing platforms at our fingertips.
Yeah, exactly. You have the whole world at your fingertips. That's why I'm always like I'm really bad about being on my phone, but like think about it in the way that like it's hard to go to sleep at night whenever you know that like on your phone you have anything you could ever want to know. It's right there at your fingertips. It's a weird thought, because I know that like I never knew a world without a smartphone, but obviously y'all did.
And so what are you trying to say?
No.
You know, I say all the time, what did we do before social media? And
blow your mind, because the first telephone that I can remember was a rotary dial phone.
Oh, yep, God. We had rotary dial phones.
We were
phones.
Watching Lethal Weapon the other day, and they had those big, blocky, rectangle phones. I was like, what is that?
I didn't. My parents had one of those. That was the first.
You could build a house with that thing.
We had one of the big bag phones.
Yeah, that's always something funny. It's like my mom will show me. Because, I mean, the house we live in now is the house that my grandparents lived in. So that was my papa's house. And my papa's rebuilt that house like 5 times. You know, just adding on things, taking away things. And so, you know, seeing the original photos from back in the day is really weird. But, you know, you can look on the walls. There's old phones and everything else. We just, this year, took off our cassette player clock that's been hanging below my cabinet for as long as I can remember.
Not the cassette player.
Yeah. Well, that was, so I had a big culture shock this year. So we've always been really bad about selling merch. Like, we did one merch run when I first started back in like 2022. We were selling shirts, and I haven't done it since because merch is such a daunting task to, especially for me. Like, if you have like startup fund of like, let's say like $500 to $1,000, you spend that on the shirts and on the printing. Well, now you're selling these shirts for, you know, if you bought them for like $5 a piece, you know, selling for 10 or 12 or whatever. I'm just pulling numbers right now, but. It's
I'm
hard
like,
to keep
no,
it.
That's too cheap.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just pulling numbers.
We paid $50 for a t-shirt of Justin Timberlake.
Exactly. And so it's one of those things where it's like, it's just very daunting to me to get that started up and then like keep track of everything, keep the books on it. So I haven't done merch, but Austin, I went over. So he lives in this little tiny house in front of his parents' house right now. And in there, he has like his little PC and he has the option to where you can burn CDs. I was like, you know what? I'm going to burn some CDs this year. We had the EP come out, so I went and we made like 25 CDs, and I put the case on there, I wrote it down on there, and we went to sell them at shows, and everyone was like, our cars don't even have CD players anymore.
No.
No.
And then I went to go look, and I was like, my truck doesn't even play CDs anymore, and I was like, it just like you can't run it like the 80s anymore. You can't sell CDs. You can't just.
There was not CDs in the 80s.
There was cassette tapes.
Yeah. But anyways, so that was just a big culture shock to me because you always hear about people when they're starting out going and selling CDs on the street. You can't even do that anymore. They don't.
No.
Yeah.
No, you have to be somewhere where somebody can download your music and you have to.
That's why we do QR codes.
You have to make them want to download
it. Yeah.
We do QR codes nowadays. Like, we have this little TV screen that we set up in the front of the stage. And we got one of those, like, Google sticks from Walmart that's, like, $14. And you plug it in there. And then it's an app called OptiSigns. And you just run slideshows. So, you know, we'll have our QR codes, pictures, dates up there and everything. But that's what really helps us out nowadays is just marketing our link tree.
Yeah,
big thing. But yeah, it's weird. It's one of those things where it's like, in the next 10 to 20 years, the music industry as a whole is gonna look different. It's kind of in the Wild West period right now. It's like whenever the internet first came around, music changed completely. You know, people like Limp Bizkit were really feeling, or you know, like whenever Metallica had to deal with Napster and all that other stuff, like.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the Wild West period of social media right now where people really see just how powerful it is.
You know, even performance has been enhanced with new technology and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Which, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and give my unsolicited opinion. I don't like it.
No.
I like to see raw talent. That's why I like to go to a live show.
Yeah.
I like to be there and see it right in front of me.
One show that I haven't got to see yet, but I've always heard really great things about it, is like Chris Stapleton. Like, he has always got, and I like him because he has
such a soulful voice.
Well, he's one of those things where, like, I've always loved Chris Stapleton's like albums, the way that he sets them up, because like the first 4 to 5 songs is like called an A-side. The A-sides are kind of like this more like radio nice country feel to it, and then those B-sides are like all like just gritty blues.
That's
and
what I love.
I've always loved how he's able to kind of. And, you know, he's so versatile. Like, he's got a song with, like, Dua Lipa and Justin Timberlake. But he's also, like, he used to be in a band called the Steel Drivers, which is, like, straight up just bluegrass. Or, you know, he's just, like, very versatile. So, like, that's one thing that I always try to do when we approach anything. It's just, like, how many different elements can we throw into one thing? But.
That is my son out there building his house.
Yeah, there's a house being built
all that
right now.
Thumping is a hammer.
It's like, what the heck?
I kept hearing it. I thought I was doing like something weird with my mic, but
yeah,
no,
my
it's
foot was tapping the stool or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it's Mikey out there building his house. Yeah, so I think we're gonna wrap up for now.
Okay.
Do you want to play a song, or do you want me to just plug in a?
Yeah, play a song.
Yeah.
Let's play a song.
Yeah, let's do it.
I've been drinking water, so my voice isn't too bad right now. Let me go grab my guitar real quick.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All
right. Well, that one's smooth, I thought.
Okay. I'm going to hold mic for you.
Are you sure you don't want to grab me a stand? Are you sure you don't want me to
get
a stand?
I don't mind to hold you mic.
All right. I'm going to get this. suit. It's been in the heat, so. This is what they call a nylon guitar, so the strings aren't steel. They're like kind of plastic almost. Like Willie Nelson is kind of famous for using nylon guitars. So what do y'all kind of want me to do? Just like y'all want me to do an original or a cover, or what are we thinking?
Something the original would be great.
Yeah, I think so.
Something that you feel that you're going to feel it while you play it.
All right, well, let me look through my set list of originals and we'll figure out a song. To do this one, we were talking about the EP that we released earlier. This was the third single that we released back in February of this year. But this is a song called Looking Out for Myself. I'll kind of talk a little bit more about it after the song, but we're gonna try this out, see how it goes. Talking things out was easy. Hey, wouldn't send me to fight overseas. Sometimes my pride is bigger than my dreams. Makes it awful hard to see that I'm sorry. So I sing. My song called Looking Out for Myself. I guess I'll kind of give a little backstory about that one, but we'll switch it over to more of a podcast setting real quick and then kind of get into that. Well, thank y'all. Alright, so hopefully that picked up well.
Yeah, I think so.
Alright, well, I guess we're back.
Yeah, we're back now.
That was the third song off my EP, but
that one's my favorite.
Thank you. Yeah, we always tell the story of that show. It was Christmas last year, and I was talking about it earlier, kind of, I had a really hard time at the holidays last year. I think we all did, but there's a saying, you know, if you have a problem with a person, they're the problem, but if you have a problem with, like, 10 people, then you're the problem. or I think it's like that. And so that was kind of the problem I was having, was like, I was just kind of mad at everyone, and like, I was like, no one's there for me, you know, everyone sucks, you know. I was just kind of just pessimistic. And my mom had like a come to Jesus meeting with me, and she was like, you need to grow up. And I was like, damn. All right. And so that song comes from a talk that my mom had with me, and it really resonated with me, and I'm glad to have people like that in my corner, you know. Those are the people that you really want to have around. The same way with Scotty's the most, like, he just does not care about your feelings. He'll just say it right there. he does. And so, you know, if you're doing something wrong, you know, he has no problem saying it to your face. But that's how a lot of people around me are, and that's what I want. You know, I want you, if I'm doing something wrong, you know, tell me. Or if I'm about to do something, you know, tell me that as well. And I don't always take the advice, you know. I'm the world's worst about, my dad's this way, where, like, he'll tell me something, and I'll be like, oh, whatever, you know. And then, like, that exact thing that he told me was going to happen will happen. And
we've been around a while. We do know what's up.
The number one phrase I hear from them is, I told you so. And I'm like, all right.
That's a song too.
Yeah, I told you so. So anyway, yeah, I kind of wrote that one about just you know, having to tear down your pride and really just try to be a better person. It's another lesson that my grandpa always taught me. He always had two or three tools of everything. We had a shop full of tools. I just had to clean it out recently because we hadn't touched it since he died, and so it was full of the ceiling, just full of tools and everything else. So we finally got it cleaned out. But his biggest lesson was always, you know, if you take care of your tools, it'll take care of you. If you take care of your truck, it'll take care of you. And so
that's true.
And that's something I had to do. Like, there was a month where my truck kept breaking down, and so I finally, because I've always, like when it comes to like music and like doing like the internal wirings and stuff and doing the maintenance, like, it clicks in my brain, but anything automotive related, I'm stupid with it. I can't ever learn it. So one thing I've learned this year is just how to do basic maintenance on my vehicles to keep them running good, because if it comes to, like, I remember my alternator went out, and I tried to YouTube it, and I was there for like 5 minutes, and I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna pay for the tow and pay for the mechanic, because this is too much for me. So yeah, I've never been blessed with the automotive brain.
Yeah, I know. I'm not either.
It's not my thing.
My husband's philosophy is that's what he has a job for, so that he can make money.
Exactly.
And pay for somebody else.
Yeah, I'm glad to pay someone that knows what they're doing.
I would, you know, much rather pay somebody that knows what they're doing than trying to figure out myself.
Yeah, me spend, you know, 5 hours trying to fix it, and then I ended up just breaking more stuff than if I would have just left it alone. Yeah, no. So this summer, there was about like a 2 month period where my truck just kept breaking down. And there was one day where my old drummer was staying with us. He was sleeping on my couch. And there was one morning where we had a show in Texarkana, and we're in Nacogdoches that morning. So we leave Nacogdoches at noon, and I get about 5 minutes out of town, and my truck breaks down completely.
Oh, no.
Just will not go. But we were like, okay, that's fine, because my drummer was following me in his truck. But he has like a lot smaller truck, like kind of like a Ranger, you know, at the time. And so we load all the equipment into the small, small truck, and we get up to Hugh Springs. And my mom had a minivan at the time. And so we were like, okay, so this truck is not cutting it, because our equipment's just hanging out in the wind. So we loaded everything into the minivan. Okay, and this is all a true story for what's about to happen. So we load everything in the minivan, and I was like, well, you know what? You know, mom and dad, you want to come with us, you know, since we're using your truck, or since we're using your van. So my mom and dad were driving, and then me and my drummer were in the back, and then we had all the equipment loaded up in the minivan. So we take the minivan, we go up to Texarkana, we load into the show, do a sound check, everything, and about 30 minutes into our set, a tornado comes through Texarkana.
Oh, no.
Big tornado. And, like, across the street from us, because the sirens are going off and everything, they're doing the evacuations, and no one's, and it's like one of those hole in the wall dive bars, you know, so no one's leaving. And so, like, we're just having to play through this hurricane, or not hurricane, play through this tornado. And so the sirens are going off, and another thing that was kind of stressing me out was that we had bought two new speakers that day, and I was like, please don't let my speakers burn up or something, you know, because the way that this venue was set up is that, like, the outside of it, it, like, used to be the outdoor porch area, and they just built up some, like, walls around it. So, like, it's kind of, like, halfway inside, halfway outside. So, there's water filling up on the floor while we're playing, and it almost reaches the stage.
and then the TV starts smoking on the ceiling. The TV, they start popping and smoking while we're in the middle of the song. And I was just like, just praying that nothing bad would happen. And so everything's done, the show's done, and we're like, okay, let's go home. So we load everything in the minivan, and me and my parents and my drummer go to Taco Bell. And in the Taco Bell drive-thru, my mom goes to shift it to drive, and the transmission snaps. And it's stuck in park.
Oh, no.
It is stuck in park in the Taco Bell drive-thru. And
Taco Bell again.
Yeah. So I kid you not, this is a true story. My mom, us as a family, because it used to be my van. I used to have that van all throughout high school. And then it broke down on me before I moved out. So I gave it to my parents. They got it. They did the money to fix it up. And then I got the truck. We had already spent so much money on that van, and the Blueback Valley was, like, really, really bad. So we gave the title and the keys to a Taco Bell worker. She was talking about how, like, she, had to take the bus to work or something. And so we were like, here's a van. And we took all of the equipment and loaded it in my bassist truck. And it was me, Walker, John, and my parents crammed in this truck, ceiling high to equipment, truck bed ceiling high to the equipment, loading back to Hugh Springs. And we left that van in the Taco Bell parking lot. And so, yeah. True story. That's the kind of luck that I had.
That is an adventure.
That was one day. We were driving home.
Maybe somebody fixed the van.
No, she... Yeah. She had told us, like... Because we gave her number as well. And she had told us that it was a blessing and whatnot. And we were like, that's good that that van's a blessing to you. Because it has been nothing but a curse for us. But that was a big thing. You know, one man's curse, another one's blessing. You know, same with the trash and treasure. So, you know, what comes around goes around. But, yeah, so we had left that van there. But I've always been notorious for having, like, the worst luck known to man. Like, it's awful. Especially, like, I mean, this is probably not the right time to tell this story. But I have the worst luck when I'm on the toilet. So,
what?
I've got some... There's multiple incidences that happened. But I promise you, when I get on that toilet, there's some kind of, like... Someone, like, you remember watching Holes and they have that, like, 150 curse?
Yeah.
I've got that kind of curse on me, I promise you. So, anyways, I was sitting down in class one day, and I got an excuse to go to the restroom. So, I go to the restroom, and, like, right when I sit down, fire alarm goes off.
What?
Like, real fire alarm. And so, but I had already gotten started, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to finish my business, and I'll just go outside whenever. Because it was one of those drills where they didn't tell anyone that it was a drill. But I figured it was a drill because I didn't hear anybody screaming, you know. So anyway, this fire alarm goes off, and I'm just sitting down in the toilet. And so I get up, and I go outside, and the hallways are empty, you know, because it's been about 5-10 minutes. So I just walk out to the nearest exit and go to the football field where a lot of guys are. And apparently you're supposed to be with your class, you know, because they're taking roll and everything. And so right whenever Mr. Nation gets over the intercom and says, hey... everyone go back to their classes. He goes, Jackson Brock, see me in my office immediately. Over the loudspeakers. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so like right whenever he dismisses everyone to go back to class, he goes, Jackson Brock, see me in my office immediately. So the whole walk up to the office, everyone's like, did you pull the fire alarm? Did you pull the fire alarm? Because that's what you're kind of, your brain's thinking if you don't know the situation. And I get into those doors, and, like, it's in the long hallway where it's, like, the doors, and then you go to the office. So, from the long hallway out of there, Nation is screaming at me from across the hallway, and everyone's got their class doors open. And so the whole school is just hearing me getting grilled. But another...
What was he accusing you of?
It's just, like, should have been where your class was. And this is where, like... I got kind of mad because I was like, I didn't really do anything wrong. Like, I still went outside. He was like, you should have been with your class, blah, 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 blah. So I go back and I email the entire school and I issue a formal apology. And at the end of the email, I wrote, what would Nation do? Because I was like, if you're ever in that situation, ask yourself, what would Nation do? And I said that to the whole school. And he replies back to the whole school. He says, it's what would Mr. Nation do? And that was like my favorite moment from high school.
God.
That's why I love Mr. Nation to this day. And like, that year they put it on the door and whatnot. It was like WWMND. My favorite story from school. But then another, this is my favorite story like outside of school where I've just had bad luck on the toilet. So we got them playing a show at a place called Lone Star Ice House over in Longview. I don't know if y'all ever been out there. It's near Cowboys, or Electric Cowboy. And so anyways, we got done playing the show and it was like late. It was like near midnight. So I'm driving home and there's this like little gas station. I was like, I gotta stop now. Like, I'm not gonna make it to New Diana or anything. I gotta stop in Longview right now. So I get out of the truck and I just walk as fast as I can respectfully to that gas station. I get in there, I close the door, and I sit down. And, like, half an hour rolls by and I get done with my business, I wash my hands, open the door, and the lights are off.
Oh no.
Lights are off. And I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? So I walk outside and I don't see anybody. And the realization is starting to set in me that, like, this gas station closed down at midnight. I probably walked down there at like 11:58. And I was like, this place probably closed at midnight. And I am inside this gas station. And I keep walking. And the worker that was working there that night, it was a sweet old lady, was like closing up the shop and closing up the last door. And she turns around and sees me standing there and just starts screaming at
me. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, I was putting my hands up. I was like, please don't call the cops. Like, please, I just want to leave. I just want to leave. She's like, you can't be in here. And so finally she let me go and everything. And that was one of my worst experiences because it was just so embarrassing. Yeah, so anyways, I just have terrible luck. That's kind of where the more of the story is. Well,
this year your luck is going to change.
But, yep, that's what I'm
hoping. I think
so. Yeah.
I see it coming for you.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. It was like, we've gotten all the bad stuff out of the way. Let's just hope that now it's just smooth sailing. But, yeah, we're just, it's one of those things where, like, last year we weren't really excited for 24 because we didn't really know what it meant, but we have a better grasp on what our goals are and really how to run the business that we're running, because we really do have to run it like a business.
Yeah, and I think you've got people around you, too, that, like, know what they're doing.
Yes, it's such a great support system.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I think that you cannot see your success, or you cannot see the good things that are happening, yeah, if you don't have those times where things exactly are just awful.
Well, know? And
yeah, yeah. That's true in any business. I mean, I've been through it here.
Yeah, it's the yin and the yang, you know? It's one of those things where, like, you can wish that everything would be good all the time, but you're never going to know what good is unless you just know exactly what, just how bad it can yeah really get.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why I was thinking yeah for this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. We're excited for you. Well, Christy's got to get to work.
Okay.
So we're going to wrap up for this time, but we for sure want to have you back.
Yeah, for sure.
So this episode, today's New Year's Eve, this episode will come out not this coming Thursday, but the next Thursday.
All right. That's like January 11th or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll make sure we tag you. Okay. Where can people find your music? Where can people find you?
The best way I can say is my social media handle on everything is Jackson James Band. If you go there, there's a link in all the bios. If you click on it, it's a thing called Linktree. When you go on there, at the top of the list, you have our Spotify and Apple Music. And then if you go down, it has our Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. And then we also have our Cash App and Venmo if you'd like to tip us at a show. And also there is a link to this podcast as well at the bottom. So,
Wow.
Anyways, if you go onto my link tree,
thank you.
Yeah. Whenever y'all, I tagged it at the bottom. It's like, whenever y'all mentioned me, I put that episode on there.
Nice.
But you know, stuff like that. So anyways, all I can say is just go find our link tree. That's basically just our website. Anything you need to know about us. If you go to our Spotify, if you scroll down to the bottom, it has our bio as well. So hopefully next year we'll get a Wikipedia page set up.
Neat.
But yeah, so thank y'all for having me on.
It was okay. A lot of fun. Yeah, well, we'll do this again. We can be found at a little bit dead on Facebook. You can email us at we're a little bit dead, and we will catch y'all after the new year.
Yes. All right. We will. It's WERELILBITDEAD at
gmail.com.
Yep.
All right, perfect.
So, we'll all see right y'all
in the new year.
All right.
All right.
We'll see all you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.